Welcome to the Women's History Walk. Your tour covers 4 miles and 19 different sites. This is a self-guided tour. Simply follow the directions below, which will take you from site to site. Timing is up to you. Proceed at your own comfortable pace. Please know that there is much more to women's history in Alexandria than can be covered in any one tour. This is just a sampling. This tour begins at Lyles Crouch School at 530 South St. Asaph Street. Site 1. Lyles Crouch School, Lyles Crouch Traditional Academy, serving children in kindergarten through grade 5, was built in 1958 and is named for two African-American educators, Mr. Roger Lyles and Mrs. Carrie Crouch. Mrs. Crouch followed in the tradition of other African-American women educators who worked hard to ensure education for African-American children at a time when Alexandria public schools were segregated. Others include Sylvia Morris, an African-American woman who opened a dame school for African-American children in her home in the 1780s. Jane A. Crouch and Sarah Gray were two free African-American women born in Alexandria who co-founded the St. Rose Institute to educate African-American children, offering day and evening classes. They also worked to help escaping slaves learn to read and write. Gray later helped open the first select colored school in 1862, and she eventually became principal of the Hollowell School for Girls. Directions: walk north 1 block to Wilkes Street, turn right, and walk 2 blocks to St. Royal Street, turn right. Site 2, Hannah Jackson Home, the east side of South Royal between Wilkes and Wolf Streets. The home is gone, but what occurred remains a part of our history. Hannah Jackson was a free African-American laundress who lived here in the early 1800s. She saved her pennies and in 1815 had enough saved to pay $135, a great deal of money then, to buy, quote, a man slave by the name of Solomon, end quote. Solomon was Hannah Jackson's son. In the years after, she used her money from doing other people's laundry to buy her sister Esther, Esther's 4 children, and her own granddaughter Ann Weaver. All became free, and their names are recorded in the court records. Free blacks, as people like Hannah Jackson were called, were often self-employed in towns like Alexandria, working as seamstresses, laundresses, and at other tasks. Many, like Hannah, worked to buy their family members out of slavery and into freedom. The Seton Home, 404 South Royal Street, was, in the 1870s, the home of George Seton, a free African-American carpenter. He was responsible for construction of the first public schools for African-American children, including the Hollowell School for Girls. Directions: walk north to Wolf Street and turn left. Walk 3 blocks to South Washington Street and turn left. Walk half a block to the Campagna Center. Site 3, the Campagna Center. Campagna Center is named for Elizabeth Ann Campagna, a woman who spent her professional life working for needy women and children in Alexandria. She began her work in this building in 1960. It was then a YWCA. And over the years, she developed dozens of innovative programs for women and their families that formed a vital safety net. In 25 years of work as the YWCA's executive director, Campagna transformed the nature of this assistance the city gave to those in need, developing preschool programs, help for latchkey kids, tutoring, crisis assistance, and much more, all funded through the creative use of city, state, and federal funds. Today's Campagna Center, named in her honor, continues her work. Directions: walk back toward Wolf Street on South Washington Street for half a block and stop. Site 4, Alexandria Academy. This restored school building, established in 1786 by donations from George Washington and others of wealth, was originally for poor male orphans. The school also accepted girls, but only at the ratio of 4 boys to 1 girl. In 1812, the trustees of Alexandria Academy opened the Washington Free School for Girls, which is a later site on this tour. Also in 1812, this school was taken over to serve free African-American children. The school continued to operate until 1847, when Virginia state law at the time forbade the education of African Americans. The academy, recently restored, is open for tours. Directions: walk north on South Washington Street to Duke Street, and turn left west on Duke Street. Walk 7 blocks to 1315 Duke Street. Site 5, Franklin and Armfield Slave Office and Pen. Our description of this site is from the Alexandria Convention and Visitors Association publication, A Remarkable and Courageous Journey. Quote, "This building served as headquarters for the slave trade operations of Isaac Franklin and John Armfield, a partnership formed in 1828. Exporting thousands of enslaved people south, this was one of the largest slave trading companies in the country. Enslaved African Americans were housed in pens, which are large walled areas with males to the west and females to the east. In January 1834, Jay Leavitt, editor of the New York Evangelist, visited the slave pens. Leavitt wrote, "We were first taken out to a paved yard 40 or 50 feet square, with a very high brick wall, and about half of it covered with a roof. He, Armfield, ordered the men to be called out from the cellar where they slept. They soon came up, 50 or 60. While they were standing, he ordered the girls to be called out. About 50 women and small children came in, and I thought I saw in the faces of these mothers some indication of irrepressible feeling. It seemed to me that they hugged their little ones more closely, and that a cold perspiration stood on their foreheads." The slave dealing businesses were all but abandoned by the time of the Civil War. Early in the war, President Lincoln held out hope of reuniting the Union without total war and respected the federal and state laws that kept most African Americans in slavery, although runaway and freed slaves were increasingly put to work for the Union war effort. During the federal occupation of Alexandria, the building became a jail for captured Confederate soldiers and rowdy Union soldiers, as well as housing in a hospital for contraband, escaped or freed slaves. In 1870, the slave pen walls were torn down. Today, 1315 Duke Street is the office of the Northern Virginia Urban League and is listed on the National Register of Historic Sites. The Urban League plans to restore portions of the original slave pens. Directions: walk west to Southwest Street, turn right and walk 2 blocks to King Street. Turn right on King and walk 9 blocks east to the 500 block of King Street. Site 6, Alexandria Courthouse. Alexandria women have not always been part of the city's judiciary as they are today. The city's first woman judge in any court was the Honorable Irene Pancoast, who became a full-time judge at Alexandria's Juvenile and Domestic Relations Court in 1954, after she completed a distinguished career as a White House staffer and attorney. Pancoast, who served in Alexandria's, quote, old courthouse, attached to City Hall before its remodeling, retired in 1977. In 1997, the Honorable Becky Moore became the first woman judge of the General District Court, where she serves today. Harriet Williams Home. Gone now, the 500 block of King Street was once the home of Harriet Williams, a slave owned by Samuel Lindsay, who lived nearby. Alexandria archaeology in the Torpedo Factory has artifacts from Williams' home. Directions: cross King Street and walk 1 block east to 421 King Street. Site 7, 421 King Street, Alexandria Office on Women. The Office on Women was created in the 1970s after a group of women led by staffer Bola Lawson created the Ad Hoc Commission on the Status of Women, which then persuaded City Council that a city department focused on women's concerns was needed. Today's Office on Women, directed by Lisa Baker, has extensive programs on issues like domestic violence, sexual assault, teen pregnancy, and more. The office also oversees Alexandria's Women's Shelter, conducts the city's annual Breast Cancer Walk, and supports the work of the Commission for Women. Directions: walk 1.5 blocks east on King Street to Market Square. Site 8, Market Square. Market Square was part of the original design of the city of Alexandria, laid out in 1749. In those times, the square was very different than today's clean and elegant site, but the purpose was, in some ways, similar. In Alexandria's early days, the square was the site of small shanties from which townspeople and farmers sold merchandise and food, men and women alike. Slaves were also sometimes permitted to sell their products here, using the money to help buy their freedom and that of family members. Sophia Browning Bell was a slave who did this in Market Square, freeing her husband, George Bell, in 1801. Bell went on to establish the first school for African American children in the District of Columbia. Then, as now, the square was a gathering place for events. George Washington led his troops from here to fight in the French and Indian War, and both Confederates and Union soldiers and sympathizers held rallies here. Slaves were sold in Market Square at one time. The public whipping post stood here as well. The city's first city hall was built on the square, and when it burned in 1871, the new city hall was rebuilt on the same site. Directions. Walk through Market Square and in the back door of City Hall. Proceed down the hall into the Vola Lawson Lobby. Site 9, Vola Lawson Lobby, Alexandria City Hall. City Hall is important to women's history as the representative site of Alexandria women's leadership in government. Alexandria's first woman to serve in the Virginia House of Delegates was civic activist Marion Galland, who was elected in 1963. Women began serving on Alexandria's city council for the first time in 1973, when two women, Beverly Biedler and Nora Lamborn, were elected. Ellen Pickering was elected in 1976, stayed in office until 1979, and has continued to play an active leadership role in Alexandria today. Marley Inman was elected to council in 1979 and was the city's first woman vice mayor in 1985 and 1986. Lois Walker served two terms on the council, beginning in 1994, and today chairs Agenda Alexandria. Claire Eberwine was elected to council in 2000 and served one term. Today's council includes two women. Rodella S. Del Pepper was first elected to council in 1985 and has served continuously since then. Joyce Woodson, the city's first African-American woman to serve on council, was elected to her first term in 2000 and ended her term in 2006. Patsy Tyser was elected to serve as Alexandria's first woman mayor in 1991. She served two full terms and in 1995 was elected the first woman from Alexandria to serve in the Virginia Senate, where she continues to serve today. Marion Van Landingham represented Alexandria with distinction in the Virginia House of Delegates from 1982 until her retirement in 2005. The Vola Lawson Lobby was named to celebrate the work of Alexandria's first woman to serve as city manager, Vola Lawson. Lawson began working for the city in the 1970s and in 1985 was named city manager, a position she held until 2001. Her many accomplishments include creating the Office on Women and encouraging the work of the Commission for Women, as well as extraordinary fiscal leadership, improving child care and early childhood education, economic development, housing, and much more. She was inducted into the Virginia Women's Hall of Fame in 1993 and has received many national awards for her work. Directions. Exit City Hall onto Cameron Street, turn left, and cross North Royal Street to Gadsby's Tavern. Site 10, Gadsby's Tavern. In the 1770s, Mary Hawkins was the proprietor of a tavern on Royal Street in the oldest of the buildings that have been preserved and restored as Gadsby's Tavern. This site, always a tavern, was the heart of Alexandria's social, political, and business life during the time Mrs. Hawkins owned it. Its convenient location near Market Square ensured a good business. We know that George Washington frequented the tavern, as he noted in his diary for January 17, 1774, went up to Alexandria to court, supped at Mrs. Hawkins, and came home afterward. While no one is certain, it is likely that Mrs. Hawkins took over the tavern, which served food and drink primarily to the upper classes, from her husband at his death. She ran the tavern with the help of her daughter, sons, and several male and female slaves. There were a number of other women who ran taverns in the mid to late 18th century in Alexandria, among them Mary Bloxham, Elizabeth Bray, Anne Mason, and Anne McMahon. Directions. Cross Market Square, walking east to North Fairfax Street. The large stone mansion there is Carlisle House. Site 11. Carlisle House. The lives of two women, Sally Fairfax Carlisle and Sybil West Carlisle, were, compared to the lives of many women in the city, relatively comfortable. But the reality of their lives compared to today's women's lives in Alexandria was difficult. Carlisle House is, even by today's standards, a large and splendid home. It was so in 1747, when 19-year-old Sally Fairfax married John Carlisle, a successful merchant at that time. At this young age, she was responsible for overseeing not only Carlisle House, but also the family plantation in Fairfax County. She and John had 7 children in the 11 short years of their marriage, only 2 of whom survived childhood. Sally Fairfax died in childbirth at age 30. Sybil West Carlisle was John's second wife. She had 4 children in 6 years, 3 of whom survived, but she too died in childbirth in 1769. Carlisle House is open for public tours. Directions. Walk 1 block south on North Fairfax Street to King Street. Turn left on King Street into the next block. Site 12. Ramsey House. Ramsey House was the home of William and Anne McCarthy Ramsey, 2 key figures in Alexandria history. William Ramsey was a Scottish merchant who settled here and was one of the city's founders. Anne McCarthy was the daughter of Alexandria Mayor Dennis McCarthy and Sarah Ball, who is George Washington's cousin. Anne married Ramsey and bore him 5 daughters and 3 sons, and in her spare time became one of the most effective fundraisers for the Revolutionary War. She became treasurer of Alexandria and Fairfax County and led a fundraising drive that collected more than $75,000. This would be worth millions today, which helped to support our Continental Army. Mrs. Ramsey did not have to raise her 8 children in this small house, today a replica of the original, in Alexandria's Visitor Center. The Ramseys moved to larger quarters elsewhere in the city. Directions. Walk down King Street to Union Street and the waterfront. Site 13, the waterfront. Alexandria came into existence in large part because of its waterfront area, which was a good natural port that made it possible for big ships to offload and load merchandise and produce. This port was one of the key shipping ports designated by the British for shipping tobacco from Virginia's plantations, and this made the city a hub for other kinds of business and commerce as well. Settled initially by Scottish and British merchants, the city was also a base for the sale and transportation of slaves throughout the South. But in the beginning, all of the land on which Old Town Alexandria is sited once belonged to a remarkable woman, Margaret Brent, considered the first woman lawyer in America and the first woman to seek the right to vote. Born in England in 1601, she and her sister moved to Colonial Maryland to find religious freedom. She held a patent, which is a land grant, from Cecil Calvert, which gave her land in her own name. She and her sister developed their property well, working with indentured female and male servants. She became active in the Maryland colony's affairs and sometimes lent money to other colonists. Her business and her representation of the Calvert family matters made it necessary for her to appear in court, inspiring much later the American Bar Association to dub her the nation's first woman lawyer. A single woman, Brent was legally able to own her own property and represent herself and others, but she could not vote in the Maryland Assembly, a right she needed to do her work. She asked for the right to vote and was turned down. She then left Maryland entirely and moved to Virginia, purchasing 11,000 acres where she lived from 1651 to 1671. The property included a 700-acre tract that is now the heart of Old Town Alexandria. She lived on her plantation called Peace in what is now Fairfax County until her death. Her heirs later sold the property. Directions: return to Union Street and turn right toward the torpedo factory. Site 14, the torpedo factory. The Torpedo Factory Art Center, which attracts many thousands of visitors each year, was once what the name implies, a torpedo factory, active in World War II. Today, it is an exceptional art center thanks to the vision and hard work of two remarkable women, Marge Alderson and Marion Van Landingham. Both professional artists, they began working with the city and a group of other artists to convert the derelict old torpedo factory into today's art center. It took years, but today the torpedo factory houses 84 working art studios, several group studios, galleries, and the offices and gallery of the Art League. Van Landingham served as the center's first director, and Marge Alderson was director during the 1980s renovation of the site to today's design. Both women continue their art careers and have working studios in the torpedo factory that you may visit. Van Landingham also serves in the Virginia House of Delegates. Directions: on Union Street, walk one block to Cameron Street and turn left. Walk four blocks west on Cameron and turn right or north onto North Royal Street. Walk five blocks to the intersection of Pendleton and North Royal Street. Site 15, Annie B. Rose House, 309 Pendleton. Annie B. Rose was born in 1893, the daughter of a slave who had been sold from the slave pens at 1315 Duke Street. She received an education, taught school in the area, and worked for many years at the U.S. Bureau of Printing and Engraving until she retired in 1945. She then devoted the rest of her long life to the Alexandria community, improving housing and home nursing for the elderly, educating Alexandria young people about Black history and slavery, and preserving Black history. In the 1940s, Rose had worked to encourage African Americans to register and vote and to take active roles in the community. She helped establish the city's first commission on aging and was a founding member of the Senior Citizens Employment Services of Alexandria. She worked to help establish the Black History Resource Center on Alfred Street. She gave more than 40 years of her life to help the city and received many awards for her efforts. Rose House is perhaps her greatest honor, where aging low-income Alexandrians are cared for. Directions: walk west on Pendleton for five blocks and turn right on North Alfred Street, then turn immediately left onto Wythe Street. Site 16, Black History Resource Center. At the center, staff and volunteers provide information about the contributions of African Americans to the city's history and culture. Originally, this site was the Robinson Library, built in 1940 as the city's first public library for African Americans. When desegregation happened in the 1960s, the building became a site for community programs. In 1983, restored and renovated, the Black History Resource Center opened. An addition was added in 1989. The center is open to visitors Tuesday through Saturdays. Directions: head back towards Central Old Town by walking east on Wythe Street and turning right or south on North Columbus Street. Walk four blocks to the 200 block of North Columbus Street. Site 17, Alexandria Free School for Girls at 218 North Columbus. The first floor of this historic building was, in 1812, the Alexandria Free School for Girls. It was funded with monies from the Washington Society and Elizabeth Washington, who dedicated funds for girls only, saying, "I confine this donation to my own sex because I believe that human happiness has material dependence upon our moral and religious worth." The school ceased operations during the Civil War. Directions: walk back north on North Columbus for half a block. Turn right at Queen Street. Site 18, the Kate Waller Barrett Library. Kate Waller Barrett was born in Alexandria in the 1850s and became the wife of a genteel clergyman. She learned about the impact of poverty and tragedy on women's lives firsthand when an unwed mother and her starving baby came to the Barrett family rectory, begging. Angered by society's treatment of such women, Kate Barrett became a reformer. She enrolled in medical school, earning her MD in 1892. With funds from philanthropist Charles Crittenden, she opened the Florence Crittenden Home for Unwed Mothers, providing sanctuary and help for mothers and their babies. Soon more Crittenden homes were opened across the nation. There were 90 by the turn of the century. Barrett was widowed in 1896 and raised her 6 children alone. She continued her activism, taking additional leadership roles in the Daughters of the American Revolution and the League of Women Voters, among other organizations. Her home at 408 Duke Street has a historical marker honoring her, and in 1937, Alexandria's main library was named to honor her. Directions: walk down Queen Street to North Washington Street and turn right. Site 19, Lloyd House. Lloyd House, today the offices of Historic Alexandria and home of extensive historical resources about Alexandria, was once the home of an especially interesting woman, Caroline Hallowell Miller. She became a suffragist leader, passionately supporting women's right to vote, and in January 1883, she was introduced by Susan B. Anthony to address the National Women's Suffrage Convention. Her remarks, as reported in the Alexandria Gazette, said this about Alexandria: "I was born and reared in a town noted for its slave pens and intense conservatism, whose women inhabitants, if of social rank sufficient to be considered ladies, were treated with all respect. But yet I had also seen women of lower social classes there stripped to the waist and brutally beaten in public by order of the law. Their only offense was impertinence to the young snipes of dry goods clerks whose own conduct provoked this impertinence." Hallowell Miller also said of Susan B. Anthony and other leaders seeking women's right to vote, "Coming generations would rise up and call them blessed. Man would rise to a higher plane when he acknowledges equal rights for women before the law." And so it came to pass. To return to Lyles Crouch School, continue down North Washington Street for 5 blocks and turn left at Wolf Street. Walk one more block and turn right on South St. Asaph Street to Lyles Crouch School. For shorter tours, visit the alexwomen.com website for the Alexandria Women's History Tours of 1 mile lengths and 1 1/2 mile lengths. Thank you for learning about some of Alexandria's wonderful women. We are grateful for the assistance provided by Alexandria Archaeology, Alexandria Black History Resource Center, the Office of Historic Alexandria, the Lloyd House Library, and the individuals who helped conduct the research about the lives of the women of Alexandria.